I normally do not get directions as far ahead as I did just recently. I felt like the Lord dealt with me. There's a message I want you to bring to Family Worship Center Lakeland for 2 weeks. And then I was in Denver, Colorado this past weekend, and I took the message there. And it's a message that I have for you, but it's for the church. And it's something that I believe is important for the days ahead. How many of you know that the days ahead, the enemy tries to do everything he can to defeat our nation, but God's going to turn it around for good? Hallelujah. How many times has he come against you and you thought all hope was lost? All only for the angel of the Lord to show up, because he comes to deliver us. Can you say amen? And the road changed, and the path changed, and the circumstances changed. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that nothing is over until it's over, and when it's over, it means victory has come. Praise God. There is no weapon formed against you that'll prosper. Every voice that rises up against you in judgment is condemned already, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And I'm so glad today that God is truly working in each of our lives. He's working a plan. He's working in the dark times. He's working in the bright times, because he takes what the Satan means for evil and turns it to good. Amen. Number of years ago, it's over 20 years ago now, I was praying on a Saturday night, preparing my heart for Sunday. I was lying there on an altar bench at the time in our church. We had altar benches down in the front. And I was just lying there on one, just seeking the Lord and praying in the Spirit, praying in my heavenly language and praying in my earthly language, just seeking the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, there are three churches in America, and I'm going to remove the middle church. Well, obviously, I knew that he was talking about types of churches, for there's many, many churches in America. He began to talk to me about religion. First church he talked to me about was religion. You know, religion, we're seeing a rise in religion, and here's what's happening. It's an all-inclusive idea that there is no way. In other words, Jesus is a way, but they don't understand Jesus is the way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father but through me. Well, religion goes and celebrates who God was, but they deny who he is. One of the most fastly gaining influence right now, even in America, is the Muslim religion. I want you to hear this for a few moments. But here's the difference. You see, the folks that were of Ishmael, they are a part of the Muslim religion. And what the idea is this, that they believe Jesus was a prophet, but they did not believe Jesus was the Son of God. They'll talk to you about Jesus. They will acknowledge Jesus was a good man. But if you ask him, is he divine? Is he the Christ? Is he the Son of the living God? And the only way to the Father, they can say no to that because they don't believe that he is. And then they come up with this name, Allah. They believe, there's people today, we've even have presidents say, we're all worshiping the same God. But they're not worshiping the same God as us. Allah is not Jehovah. Allah is a God that was a 12th century sun god. And he had a wife they called the sun god. The sun goddess or the moon goddess and little prince daughters. And so it's just a scrambled up mess. And so we're trying today, there's a movement today called Chrislam. Have you ever heard of it? Chrislam is trying to merge the two things together. There's one problem with that. You can't merge Jesus with anything. He is who he is. He is the Christ. He is the first. He is the last. He's the beginning. He's the ending. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And say, without the shedding of blood, that is Jesus's blood, there is no remission for sins. Jesus actually went on to say, if you try to come to me any other way, you are a thief and a robber. So everybody in this room today who knows Jesus, you've recognized he's the only way to the Father, and you've recognized I must come through him, and if I try to come any other way, I'm a thief and a robber. And the reason I say all that, because religion is varied, and religion's going to go on as it always has. This is what he said to me. And become a part of the end time apostate church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of an apostate anything. I want to be a part of what the living reality of Jesus Christ is. Can you say amen? And so I bring this up because we're facing uncertain times. We're facing times that good is called evil and evil is called good. We're facing a time that any religion will do you in people's minds. But the truth is, there is only one way, and religion doesn't lead you in that way. Religion leads you into the God who was while fighting the God who is. There's actually people in religion today that believe with everything in them that God did things in the past, but now they no longer believe that. They think when the last apostle died, the last miracle ceased happening. But if you're saved and born of the Spirit, you're an example of a current miracle. Hallelujah. If that were true, you couldn't be saved. If the last apostle came and you tried to receive Jesus, you can't receive him any other way except through the blood of Christ. Can you say amen? And so we come believing and accepting and promoting, because you've got to be very careful that you don't get swallowed up into society's thinking, because society is against the biblical God. Now listen to this. God said, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The minute you split off from that, yes, all are sons of Abraham, but the minute you slip off from that, the minute you move away from that, you have fundamentally lost your heritage, your inheritance, because he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the only way to the Father. Religion tries to hide that. Religion tries to pull that away from you. But the good news is, nobody can come, because what he started, he will finish. Hallelujah. But we've got to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Then he talked to me about another church. And this is the church the Spirit of God said, I'm going to remove in the days ahead. And here's what he said to me. He called it the middle church. And he said this, it's a hodgepodge of everything. It's a mixture. Right in Lakeland, Florida, just recently, a new church started. Now, I'm for new churches. I've been known to go by and give checks to new churches and be a blessing. I'm for the body of Christ. I'm for everything God's for, but I'm not for anything he's not for. We had a church started. They've brought in secular music. It's going to get quiet for a minute. Matter of fact, now listen, don't get offended at this, but they had a Michael Jackson tune to introduce a pastor's message recently. Listen, let me tell you something. We don't need the world. I don't care who it is or who it's coming through. We don't need the world to introduce our messages. We need to introduce our messages with the word of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so we've got so much of a hodgepodge out there today, a mixture of everything. Well, if you become a mixture, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to leave the activity and the power of the Holy Spirit behind, and you're going to lean to the arm of the flesh, and you're not going to rely on the presence of God. And because I want to talk about this, because this is an anniversary. Where are you going in the future? What is going to be your decision about the future? Are you going to succumb to all the stuff the world's trying to do? Are you going to say, bless God, I know there's something coming on the horizon much greater than I can ever imagine, much more powerful than I could ever see, and that's going to be not by might, not by man's ability, but by the Spirit of the living God. I'm not looking at present circumstances. I'm looking at the future. The future of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is bright. Hallelujah. Just say out loud, I'm a part of something bright. I'm going to move in his power and might. And when the weapons come and when they're formed, I'm going to stand. Having stood, therefore, I will see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on and give him thanks. Religion is a tough thing. And then a mixture of religion, some past, some Holy Ghost, mixing it all in together. The next thing you know, to the extent you compromise the gospel, you water down its power. And so we've got to be careful of that. What are we going to do in the future? This church has a wonderful past. I've been so proud of what's happened, and if, like all other churches, I don't know this, but my guess would be, there's times you'll have pruning. I know one time the Lord said to me a while back, he said, I'm going to prune Family Worship Center. I didn't like it. No preacher likes his church pruned. I'm going to prune Family Worship Center, now listen, that it may bear more fruit. You see, Jesus is in the fruit business. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants to see lives change. He does. I've stood sometimes for things. People would get right up and walk right out the door because I read, and so finally I said, Lord, what am I going to do with these people? I can't get them to hear the word of the Lord. They're more interested in what their kid thinks than what God thinks. And he said to me, just read them the scriptures. Just read them the scriptures. If they reject the scriptures, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Praise God. So you just stay with the word of God when they get up and talk about men can marry men and women can marry women and they go on along this line. Listen, all of that may sound reasonable to you. Well, you're born like that. You can't help it. But I have news for you. You can help it because God doesn't call you to a life of purity if he doesn't give you the power to be pure. Praise God. But he's not in men marrying men and women marrying women and everybody calling that good and thinking you've got something against you or you've got something against somebody because you stand with the word of God. What side are you going to stand on? I remember one time when Moses came down out of the mountain. He'd been up there with God. He had the tablets in his hands. He comes down and he finds them dancing around a golden calf. He found him having sexual immorality and all these things going on. And he got so angered, he threw those tablets down. What was the problem? And so finally he stands there and he says, which side are you on? Which side are you on? If you're going to stand with God, stand with God. Come over on this side. But if you're going to go along with everything else, you stand over on that side. And guess what happened to the ones who went over on that side? They were swallowed up. Listen, I don't want to get swallowed up. I want to be raised up. Hallelujah. If this same Jesus you have seen go away, if you've seen him, he went away in a cloud, he shall come again, just as you saw him go away. Jesus went up into the heaven. The angel stood there and said, this same Jesus that you just saw go away, he is coming again. Every eye will see him. Everyone will confess him. He is the Christ, the true Son of the living God. There is no other way but through him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The middle church is a compromising church. It is a lukewarm church. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said in verse 17, I would that you were cold or hot, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you or spit you right out of my mouth. So when he talked to me about three churches biblically, this is exactly what he's saying. I read this recently and I like this. Someone actually on my board of advisors sent it to me, and I thought it's a great statement by an English minister by the name of Leonard Ravenhill. How many of you ever heard of Leonard Ravenhill? Leonard said this, I believe every church is either supernatural or superficial. I don't believe there's a middle ground. What Jesus talked to me about was that middle ground. I'm going to remove the superficial church in the days ahead. In other words, what does he want? He wants us to be hot. He wants us to be alive. He wants us as a church to live a pure life, a holy life. You know, I noticed something for years. I would preach real strong some Sundays on holiness, living right, living according to the principles of God. I would be real strong on that. And it would be kind of quiet and solemn, and people would just be listening. There wasn't a lot of emotion in it. But I noticed when we'd come back on Sunday nights, almost invariably, what I had declared on Sunday morning, God would demonstrate on Sunday nights. It's amazing how God confirms his word with signs following. We just took the whole day of service and split it in half. One morning is declaration. The next part is demonstration. I love the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I remember one time I was preaching on a Sunday morning. And our church was just small at the time. I think we were about 300 people, and we'd only been going a little over a year. The church was just growing. It was crazy growing. Anyhow, I called for people who wanted to be healed that morning, and about a dozen people came and stood down front. And I felt the wind of the Spirit. So I went to step down off the platform to go lay hands on these people, and the Spirit of the Lord constrained me. Don't you go down. Don't you go down. Stay right where you are. So I just backed off a little bit, came over to the podium, and just watched. The Lord's evidently getting ready to do something. So there are two people here, another third lady who was a Catholic lady, I found out later, four people here, and two more people here. It was so interesting what happened. The Spirit of God picked that lady up. There's people in my church that are witnesses to it to this day. Held her 18 inches to 24 inches in the air in front of the whole congregation and laid her down behind four people. The people on the left side, be your right, my left, but on my left side, both of them went out just like you'd pull a plug, and they just like fainted, swooned under the power of God. The lady was picked up, laid behind these four people. Not one of them fell. It was the most orderly thing I'd ever seen. And then everybody, the rest of them, went down under the power of God. Total of 12 people, power of God. People in our church started running that morning. They started running, and as they were coming down the aisle, they would drop under the presence of God. I'm telling you, there's a real. There is a move of the Holy Spirit. There's something supernatural. It's more than the superficial. God wants you to be a supernatural Christian. He wants your church to be a supernatural church. It is not by man's ability. It is not by man's might, but by the Spirit of the living God. So you have to ask yourself, what kind of church do I want to be? And once you answer what kind of church you want us to have, then you have to decide, I'm going to become a part of that church. I'm going to give to it. I'm going to love to it. I'm going to work towards it. I'm going to let my life be spent helping build the kingdom of God. If you want to know what the Lord's doing today, He's building strong local churches that know how to flow in the Holy Spirit. There is a superficial out there. There's always been when Moses was put down his rod, all of a sudden it became a serpent. When the magicians did the same thing, they had two and they became serpents. But the power of God ate up that which was of the world. I'm telling you, there's something coming. The supernatural that's going to eat up the superficial. It's going to be the power of God. It's going to be the operation of the Holy Spirit. And we're to hold in there in the meantime. You see all these things happening all around you. But I have news for you. Just hold yourself steady. Just hold yourself. Say, I'm going to be a part of the number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah. Come on. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. He's not going to ask you, did you help build the flesh? He's not going to ask you all of these other things. He's going to say, what did you do with my spirit? In the book of Revelation, there were seven churches. John was on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus came and appeared before him. His hair was white like wool. He was radiant. And he stood there and he talked to John about seven churches, different types of churches. And he gave something to every one of them. Every one of them had strengths. Some of them had weaknesses. Only two out of seven was he able to commend. Think about that. The rest of them he had to correct. One of them he said, if you don't straighten up, I'm no longer going to walk in your midst. In other words, you've allowed things to come into your church. You've allowed that woman Jezebel to come into your church. He started saying things he said the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam is exactly what we're seeing today. It's a mixture. It's a not taking a stand. It's mixing everything together. And he corrected them, but he said the same thing to all seven of them. This is the only statement he made to all seven of them. He said, he who has an ear. How many of you have got an ear in here today? He who has an ear, let him hear. What is it he's to hear? What the Spirit says to the churches. You see, he didn't say what he said to the churches. The Spirit is still speaking. Hallelujah. It's present continuous. What God did, he still does. And what he does, he will continue doing. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. What he was, he is. What he did, he does. Can you say amen? When he turned water into wine, he'll turn water into wine for you. What do you need? I need a miracle from God. The same God that did miracles in the Old Covenant did them in the interim when Jesus was there. The same God that worked miracles through Jesus when he was on the earth. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit just like we are. He also continued to do that when the apostles came on the scene and they wrote the scriptures that we have today that are solemn, beautiful scriptures. He's the same God yesterday, the same God today, and whatever he is today, he'll still be tomorrow. He's a God that changes not. If he changed the water into wine yesterday, he'll do it for you today. If he went and got gold out of a fish's mouth, he'll do it for you today. Whatever he did, he still does. He's a God that changes not. Hallelujah. Come on and say, I believe in a supernatural God, not a superficial one. So my message today to you is don't be that middle church. When your pastor tries to lead the church in a direction, it's because he's been seeking God. And he feels like, I've got to take this stand. It's never popular to take a stand. Matter of fact, it's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. I've had people, when I took the stand, that men aren't supposed to be marrying men, and women aren't supposed to be marrying women, and we're not supposed to get that all mixed up. God's given us a pattern. He said, if a man marries a woman, let him leave his mother and father and cleave to her. He doesn't say, if a man leaves a man, let him leave his mother and father and cleave to him. No, he said, let him cleave to her. I know I'm going over that, but see, we're getting so conditioned. We're getting so conditioned as a society. We're watching television reels. We're watching commentators. They're all bent towards a bias of sin. I'm telling you, it's a highway to holiness. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. I recently had that just stirring in me on a Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday. I called Brother Wayne in the afternoon on Wednesday. I said, do you know that tune? It's a highway to holiness. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. He started singing it to me. Come on up here, Brother Wayne. How many of you know that tune? How many of you ever heard it in your life? How many of you like sing it for just a minute? You see, I'm unorthodox. We can stop right in the middle of our service and do whatever we want to. This is our service. Can you say amen? This is where God's at work. Hallelujah. Come on, praise God. That's why leading and following the Holy Spirit, never leading Him but following Him, always produces beautiful results. Just hear this just a minute. There was such an anointing on this that our prayer service took such a tenor in the Spirit. I want you just to sing it. Sing it along with Him if you'd like to. Go ahead, Brother Wayne.
It's a highway to heaven.
None can walk up there.
None can walk up there.
But the pure.
But the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven.
Walking.
Walking up the King's.
Come on, lift your hands up. Just say, I'm going to be a part of that highway.
Oh, it's a highway. Walk up there, but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway.
One more time, it's a highway.
Oh, it's a highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there.
Oh yes,
but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway.
When the Spirit of God lifted this little woman, just stay up there with me for a minute, Brother Wayne. When the Spirit of God lifted this little woman up, you say, well, what was the point of that? He totally changed her heart. He totally changed her life. And by the supernatural demonstration of the Spirit of God, it changed other people, because that morning people ran. They saw the reality of Jesus. They saw the power of God in operation. Let me tell you something. When you have an experience with Jesus, you will never be the same. If you're always around the superficial, there's never that experience. There's never that moment that you can look back on to where I was touched, I was filled, I was healed. Praise God. You never have something to look back on when you stay in the superficial, because the superficial has no power. But when you look back on the supernatural, you say, you once were lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. There was things that were wrong with you that today they're not. Oh, are you perfect? No, but you're on your way to perfection. I'll never forget one day the Lord said to me, there's a big difference in impurities and imperfections. I thought, well, I'm not impure, and then I got encouraged, but I am certainly imperfect. How many of you realize you're not perfect? But the perfect one is leading you. The perfect one is changing you. And that's why you come to the house of the Lord. You should come when you least feel like it more than when you feel like it. Because when you come to the house of the Lord, there's something that begins to stir. There's something that begins to happen. It's more than mental. It's out of your belly. Out of your inner being shall flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Spirit, which they had not received because Jesus had not yet come. He glorified through the Spirit. He wants to come and bring glory into your life. He wants to give such glory through your life that it brings honor to the Father. And he wants that glory to be permeating in your church. Listen to what the superficial is. I think this is very important. It appears to be true or real, but when examined more closely, it's not. A lot of things are being proclaimed today that's hurt the church. Can you say amen? Actually, that was Revelation 3, 15 through 16. I said 17, but it's the verse after that I was talking about. One meaning of lukewarm. See, it's also a middle church is a lukewarm church. There's no lukewarmness in here today. When y'all were singing earlier with your band and your pastor came up and led it further, there was nothing about that that was lukewarm. It was hot. And what does he say? Why did he say I'd rather you be cold or hot? Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of your mouth. Because lukewarmness makes you feel like you're okay. Coldness, you know you're dead. You know you need something. Cold, I'd rather you be cold and knowing you have need than to be lukewarm and thinking you're okay. No, but I want you to be hot. I want you to be hot in the Spirit. This church is about being hot in the Holy Ghost. This church is about signs and wonders and miracles. No, we don't see them every day in the church services, and we shouldn't. I remember one time I'd come home on a Sunday morning, Sunday night after church. I went in to change my clothes, and then internally I was grumbling just a little bit. I was kind of coming from the idea that the service hadn't been real. It hadn't been a real good day. And the Lord spoke inside me and said, you've had a great day in the Word. And all of a sudden I realized there'd been an anointing, not to preach, but to teach the Word. It didn't seem like a lot was happening, but just teaching the Word. Remember, Jesus taught the Word and the power of God was present to heal them as they sat hearing teaching. So he went on to explain to me some services. I want you to say this with me, some services. He said, all I want is my Word taught. So if pastor gets up on a Sunday morning, it doesn't seem to be one of those fiery days. He just gets up. He has a word to share. He has a teaching to give. He has a doctrine to share. It doesn't seem real active that particular day. But yet God is doing inside something inside of you. Because Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. So sometimes something supernatural is happening that you can't feel or see. It's what you're receiving. So that's where he says, some services, all I want is my word taught. He said, other services, all I want is a move of my Holy Spirit. And then he said this to me, more often than either of those is a combination of both. What do you mean? When you come, there should be an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. People that are discouraged ought to get encouraged. People that are broken down, they ought to be mended. People that maybe are sick, they should be healed. There should be that activity going on when the Spirit of God is active in your church. And then the word is taught, it's proclaimed. Somebody's sitting there. They're in an extramarital affair. Their heart is condemning them. Because, see, you can't walk in faith and walk in sin. Actually, on that highway to holiness, the Lord said to me the other day, just as clearly that Wednesday, he said this, holiness is to heaven what sin is to hell. Say that with me. Holiness is to heaven what sin is to hell. Many people, even trying to be Christians, live a sinful life, not recognizing that they're killing themselves spiritually, because to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Can you say amen? I can tell you've been well taught because you know these scriptures and you're responding, and it's beautiful. I love your church. I love what God's doing in your church. I'm 100% supporter of what's happening in Florence. But you've not seen anything yet. You've not, tell somebody, we've not seen anything yet. Say, as God works in our midst, as pressures in life get greater, as there seems to be no answers. How many of you know we live in a society that there just doesn't seem to be many answers? Politicians promise us all kinds of stuff, but when they get in office, they can't produce. It's not always their fault. It's just the world's in a mess. This world is in a mess, but there is a place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I will not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence at noonday. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Come on and give Him praise. Come on and give Him praise in this house. He is a supernatural God, a powerful God. And I love the way He works as the head of the church. Again, He says, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I'd rather you be cold, meaning knowing your condition, or hot, full of the Spirit of God, than to be lukewarm and not know the spiritual condition you're in. Oh, I'll just, what is some symptoms of lukewarmness? Oh, I'll just go to church today. I don't really feel like it. Or it might be this. I think I'll just stay home today. I don't really feel well in my body, and I don't really feel like going out in the weather, and I just don't feel like going to church today. Besides, there's something going on down at the lake this afternoon or somewhere downtown. I think I'll just get a little rest this morning, and I think I'll just go down there this afternoon. Or my kid's going to be playing baseball this afternoon at 2 o'clock. I think I'll just lay out of church, be ready for his game. What are you telling your kid? You're telling your child the baseball game, the football game is more important than the house of God. When does the church come to a place it says, bless God, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and, come on, say it, my house, come on, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What does the Bible say about that? My son Josh one day was saying to me, Dad, you put such an emphasis on coming to church. Why don't you do that? I said, Josh, it's a sin not to go to church. He said, what? We're on our way to go hunting. We're in a pickup truck with guns in the back. That's my Josh, my son Josh, one of the three I have. He's just this fisher hunter kind of guy. So we're going along, and when hunting season comes, he just has a tendency to miss too much church. And I'm talking to him about it and just saying, Josh, you can't live like that. I said, the Bible says it's a sin not to go to church. Where does it say that? I said, Hebrews 10, 25 and 26, which says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but come together even more as you see the day approaching. Now listen, for if we sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. It's like trampling underfoot the precious blood. You say, Pastor Reggie, this is supposed to be a day of celebration. It is. We're celebrating holiness. We're celebrating the move of God. We're celebrating the supernatural. We're celebrating the foundation of what built this house. We're celebrating what we're about. We're not about the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you fall in love with the world, the love of the Father will not be in you. You cannot serve God and mammon. You only serve God. Hallelujah. He gives you mammon, but the minute you start serving mammon, he's not helping you. He'll help you with everything you need in life if you'll seek him first, put him first, love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your being. He'll look at you and say, they need this. Bless them. They need that. Open that door. We need this. And he'll work on your behalf in an incredible way. All he wants is all of you. Amen. And that's what he wants in your house, in your church. So then he said this to me. Three churches in America, remember that, and I'm going to remove the middle church. So in days ahead, he's going to take that superficial out of the church. But then he said to me, the third type of church, now you have to understand, going back 20-some years, that's terminology that would be different than today. When he said Holy Ghost churches are going to flourish in the days ahead. Now that was 2 years before my father in the faith, Brother Hagin, started saying, if you want to know what the Lord's doing today, he's building strong local churches that know how to flow in the Holy Ghost. 2 years before that, he said to me, in the days ahead, Holy Ghost churches are going to flourish. Listen, some of the fastest growing churches in the world today, in America, not the world, in America, are not Holy Ghost churches. But if you look around the world, the fastest growing churches around the world are Holy Ghost churches. What do you mean? Churches built on the Spirit. And that vision, that flow is coming to America. There's going to be a flood tide of the glory of God. When we have no more answers, when we've run out of things, I don't care who's in the White House, praise God. Guy, it's going to be a powerful house. Can you say amen? Because God is going to come and work on our behalf and work in our midst. Do you believe that? Say out loud with me. God's church is to be hot. It's not to be superficial. It's to be supernatural. Hallelujah. And so pledge yourself. Lift your hand and say, I'm going to be a supernatural Christian. I'm not going to look to my might. I'm not going to look to my power. But I'm going to look to the Lord. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord will help me. He will tell me what to do, and he will help me do it. as I walk close to Him, as I stay full of the Spirit. I will be led of the Spirit. I will not be led by my flesh, but I will be led by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on and give Him praise. I know I'm going just a flying this morning because I want to get out as much as I can to you because I love your pastors. As a result, I love you. And let me tell you how that works. I have 7 absolutely beautiful grandchildren. But they're not mine. They belong to somebody else. They belong to their fathers and their mothers. But there's a reason that I love them. It's because I love their dad. And that's how I feel about this. You're like a grandchild to me. Do you understand how people that say, my boys even say to me, why do you let them get by with so much? You didn't let us get by with anything. And when I go see them, they just hang on me like I think I'm like an opossum going along and these things all hanging on you, you know, wherever you go. It's because I love them and I go do things for them and I do things with them. But I love them because I love their parents. And I said to them one day, I said, why do you think I love them so much? It's because I love you. Yeah, but you act like you love them more than you do us. Any of you had any of those problems? Grandparents just love their grandkids. You can't explain it. It's just something you can't explain. But that's how you feel when I come to this house. I love your pastor. He's a son in the faith. He's a good man. He's probably not perfect. If he's like me, he's not. I don't know. He's probably more perfect than me, but I doubt you're perfect, Pastor Steve. But at the same time, I know your heart. I know you love God with every fiber of your being. I know Amy loves the children and the heart and pours herself into the kids of this church. You all are a wonderful example of loving pastors. And so don't you appreciate him very much? They're good people, and you've got a good church. And I love it. I love coming here. I love the atmosphere. So this morning, it was more of a celebration, but I wanted to also share with you how important it is to take up your mantle here. Become a part of what God's doing right here. And when sometimes the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, and you're attracted to this and that and the other, if it's superficial, reject it. If it's not more supernatural than you got here, stay here. Because don't go for the superficial. Go for the supernatural. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Some people were mocking them because they were drunken, as just inebriated with the Spirit of the Lord. And Peter stands up, he said, they're not drunken like you think. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out of my Spirit. See, last days. I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will in those days pour out of my Spirit. And Peter then stands up in verse 38 of Acts 2, and he says, this promise is unto you and to your children and to your children's children, as many as are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. My dear friend, Dr. Mark Rutland, was president of Southeastern University. Then he went to Oral Roberts University to be the president there several years. He was in our church one day, and he said to our church, he said, every degree away from Pentecost, or we'd say the Spirit-filled environment, every degree away from Pentecost is another degree away from God's original intent for the church. Every day away and towards the superficial is away, another day away from the supernatural power of God. I want you to commit your life to the supernatural lifestyle. You will sin. You are going to miss it in thought, word, or deed at some point in your life. It's not an habitual practice. It isn't something you live in on a daily basis, but we all miss it. We all miss it in thought, word, or deed. And my advice to you is don't run from God, run to Him. Don't try to hide from Him. Run to Him and say, cleanse me, Father. That isn't my intent. Yes, I missed it. My attitude was wrong. My action was wrong. My life was wrong. But I'm not going to live over there. I'm not going to live in condemnation. I purpose not to do that anymore. anymore. We all are going to miss it, right? How many of you have missed it this week? But you don't live there. You don't live there. And so run to him. Don't run from him. Don't get into a place like this and say, I feel condemned. This is not a message to condemn anybody. It's a message to encourage you, to strengthen you, to live and stand for God and to stand with the word of God. And listen, whenever you do anything, it doesn't matter what you do. You go to the polls and you vote. When you go there, vote your conscience with God. Do you hear me? I don't go pay attention to the personality. I don't care who it is, Democrat, Republican, Independent. What do they stand for? I'm big on what people stand for. What does that preacher stand for? I'm big on what he stands for. If he stands for all kinds of compromise, I can't hear him. If he's a superficial message, I can't hear him. But if I know a man stands with the word of God and he's willing to stand up and say, this is what God says, I stand with God. Now I can stand behind that man. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on and give him praise. Shout a minute. Lift your voices. Lift your voices. Lift your voices high for a minute. Hallelujah.